You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. The EDM bluegrass?
Yeah, it was.
You don't like doom, tch, doom.
I like that too. It's been great. It's had a good run.
We are not switching to EDM bluegrass.
Why not?
No.
It was great.
That's your thing.
Did you not see the feedback on Twitter? It was exceptional. Everybody was stoked.
Yes, but we are still not changing it. We're not going to do it.
What if I can get Ed on my side?
No, man. How often do you listen to EDM? Is that like all you listen to?
No comment.
That's okay. Hey, I'm not a hater.
And bluegrass.
Yeah, I'm not a hater. No, bluegrass. I love bluegrass performed live.
A very eclectic music selection.
You are an eclectic person, Todd.
Yes, I am.
All right. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to do something special today. Instead of playing a question, we're actually going to play 10 minutes of our bivocational ministry course. So this is going to be one on time management. Now, this is not going to be the entire module. This is module 6 in the course, and it's one of the modules that you get when you purchase the course. But I just wanted to take 10 minutes out because Hugh Halter, he is kind of the guy. Yeah, the guy in bivocational ministry. And he talks about how to manage time well, how to set yourselves up so you're not going to be burning out or jeopardizing the health of your ministry, family, and even your own body. And when we don't manage our time well, that is what we let ourselves become susceptible to. So Hugh Halter, although this is a module in our bivocational ministry course, and although our bivocational ministry course is on newchurches.com, the neat thing about this course is whether you're a student pastor, actually someone reached out to me today about this too, like, I'm a student pastor, bivocational, can I still learn from this course?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this course, we really wanted to make it broad to say, hey, it doesn't matter what role you're in, if you're wanting to do full-time ministry but only have half the time, that's what this course is all about. So why don't we listen into this module and we're going to then talk about it a little bit after.
Probably the most important question I usually get asked is like, okay, how did you make this work? Like, describe a typical day. And so I'm going to give you a typical day kind of as we were planting a church. And now ours was a little bit different, by the way. And I usually tell people, don't use Hugh Halter life as a reproducible model, because I'd say we barely made it. But this was the day, mostly because of my son's epilepsy. So Ryan would have, on the Tangible Kingdom story, that was years 2002 to about 2 years ago. So he would be having, on average, maybe 5 to 6 seizures a night. And then even at the end of the first church plant story, sometimes a little bit more, 10, 15 a day. So a typical day literally really kind of began with the evening. And so I would usually be on night duty. So I'd sleep with Ryan and probably getting 1 to 2 hours of sleep a night, kind of interspersed. So not a lot of sleep. And that went on for 20 years. But during that stage, I was a house painter. And then we were also trying to plant. Same thing in Denver, same type of a deal. So typical day would be a couple hours of sleep at night, and then I'd usually get up around 5:30 because I couldn't take it anymore, and I'd head off to work, and I usually tried to paint between about 5:45 and about 2:30. So just tried to plow through, not too many breaks for lunch unless I was meeting with somebody, and then I would pull over in a park on the way home, same park, same parking spot underneath this big fir tree, and I would take a quick little half-hour cat nap. And I could usually fall asleep in a second. So I'd pull up, recline the seat, take a nap. And then I would head home about 2 blocks away and would just touch base with Cheryl. Cheryl had been on duty with Ryan all day, so now she's exhausted. And we would always have a coffee time together in the afternoon, just try to touch base, see how things are going. And then I'd lock in with family till 7:30, 8 o'clock. Then the kids start going to bed. And usually 2 nights a week I was out with leaders. So something related to the ministry, either people that we were just hanging out with, had my own missional community. That would be every other week on a midweek time would be kind of our missional community time. a party or two, a meal with a bunch of friends sometime during the weekend, something like that. So that'd be a typical kind of experience. And so some things that I just had to learn how to do to survive. Again, most of you probably won't have as severe an issue related to sleep. So it'll really be more how to just juggle, you know, jobs and work and ministry and that type of thing. So I want to give you a couple pointers. And the first one is based off of what we call a 25% rule. And I heard this originally from a guy named Bob Logan, who coaches leaders all over the world. But I think he was referring to a Drucker, Peter Drucker. So out of one of those books, I think he mentioned this. But the 25% rule is basically this: that they discern that any leader of any organization, church, business can stop doing 25% of what they're doing immediately, and nobody will notice any qualitative difference, which means we all feel like we're just slam busy. There's just no space or margin. But most of us just don't learn how to live efficiently. So the 25% rule was something that actually Bob coached me in, like trying to find time. And so I had to run my whole schedule by him. And once we could find the 25% of what I don't have to do anymore, I was able to actually now lean into the things that actually create momentum. And the things that create momentum in normal church are not going to be the things that create momentum when you're doing more of a bivocational team approach. And so you're going to be needing to spend your time in different places. So a couple of thoughts just on how this worked. Number one is have a time management process. When I ask church planters or actual pastors how you manage your time, the impression I get is that most of us have kind of locked in meetings, and then we let the rest of life happen to us. When you're doing bivocational life, you actually have to be the one driving or owning your own life. Nobody else gets to own you or determine what you do. You have to actually learn how to architect the way that Hugh Halter and the Halter family are going to live. And so one of the things that I got coached in that I do with leaders all over the world is just kind of bring back the old, what we call the jar illustration. And this is just kind of a, you look at your life as this big jar. I know it's a beautiful illustration, but we're trying to get as much packed in that jar as we can. And so you know that you're probably going to get more in there if you put the big rocks in first, then put the medium, then the small, and then you throw the sand on the top. Most of us do the exact opposite. We just let the world fill our jar with so much stuff, we can't do the stuff that we want to do. And so some ways that we coach, again, based off that 25% rule, is figure out what the big rocks are. What's the most important things that you need to be doing? The things that over the course of your life create the most momentum and really create the legacy that you want. So some things that I did, by the way, you know, I had a time management system. I will not give any more sort of branding advice on this, but I found a little thing called the Planner Pad. And it's a big, you know, 8.5 by 11, like, you know, old school. I know most of us are on computers now or on our phone, but the phone didn't work for me because all I see is little dots. And so I'm not really seeing it until I poke on it. So you may consider going back to something that you can visually see, but this 8.5, 11, PlannerPad.com has 7 or 8 different categories along the top. And when you're doing Bible, that's what life's like. You have all these different aspects of life that you're trying to bring into alignment. And so you may check that out or some other time management tool, but I would plan every Sunday night. So for me, that felt like the end of my week, and I would then plan for the following week. And so if you're going to live bivocationally well, if you don't take ownership of your schedule, I think the whole thing is going to be difficult. And so you might consider, what is going to be that time slot every week where I intentionally decide what the week's going to play out for? And so I would do that. I would usually have Cheryl come in for the first half hour to an hour, and we would generally go through these. So we would look at, you know, what I would call good news for you and your family first. The reason why we do this is when you start moving from a traditional church, position to a bivo, your lifestyle is really more your ministry. And so if you don't have good news going on with your family, or if you don't really like the way life is going, it's going to be hard to pass that on and get other people to buy into it. So our ministry context is now the neighborhood instead of the building. Spiritual authority and people coming to us is really going to be based more on our life. So it's very strategic then to go, is our life good news? So the big rocks are good news for you and your family. So Cheryl and I would first plan, I'll just put Cheryl and I. We decided early on, even though Ryan had severe epilepsy, we were not going to be a disability-based marriage. We weren't going to be a kid-based marriage. The best thing we could do for our kids is to actually have a great marriage. So we said, let's prioritize us. And sometimes, you know, the old adage of trying to have a date night a week, that didn't work for us because of Ryan's epilepsy. But we tried at least every other week to have some time where it just was our time. We did have our two coffees a day. So we would wake up in the morning, we'd have a coffee. And then every day in the afternoon, we'd have that as well. So we just made sure we talked through the week. Hey, any time that you and I can get away and just have us. Then we talked about the kids. Besides Ryan's epilepsy, both my daughters were playing very high-level ice hockey all around the country. So they were on airplanes, you know, about 10 times a year apiece. So we were pretty constant trying to figure out when the next trip was, who was going to go with them, how we were going to manage Ryan. The kids' hockey schedule, they were 30 hours a week, literally in the ice rinks during the week, even if we weren't traveling. So that was a pretty big rock. We had to figure out life around the hockey. And then, you know, another big rock was work, just the labor that we had to do. So early on, I'd put my house painting schedule in, I'd put Cheryl and I's time in, I'd put in the hockey program, and then the last one I put in there was me. I put in me because you all know this. When we get sick or when we get tired, when we're just not healthy, everything else kind of really suffers. And I had a mentor I'm very thankful for that finally came to me when he was watching me just burn it at both ends. And he said, Hugh, your body is your job. So you have to keep Hugh Halter healthy. And I had let myself go physically. I was carrying more weight. I was getting sicker more. I was obviously not getting much sleep, and he just went, you are not sustainable, and you would not want anybody else to live like this. So he actually started instituting that I would take care of myself. So I started going to the gym. I'm an introvert, so I started to figure out times where I could get alone, be by myself, recover. So those were the big rocks. That brings good news to me and my family. It's the gospel is actually touching down now on planet Earth, and we can actually live a life that people may go, no, I like the way they lived.
That's so good, man. I mean, I know his work, but I didn't know his story. And so the story part of it, you know, makes it that much better. But what I love is he's sharing really practical stuff that, you know, I'm sitting here going, I'm not 5-0 and I need to apply some of this stuff.
Yeah, the discipline that the guy has in order to just survive.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, we could have started this. What remains in this session, he talks about the you know, what are the should do's. So what are the must, what are the have to do's, the must do's, what are the should do's, what are the get to do's? You know, that's
like
a way.
Water,
so that's one way to think about it in that way. But the rest of the time, he talks about how to manage not only your time, the next part in this session, he really focuses on your ministry time, right? Because he talked a lot about his personal life, and that is huge because he's bivocational, and we have, how do we just, first of all, be better stewards of our time, right? First of all, so right. Better stewards of our body, but ministry-wise, not every task is created equal, right? And if you're not intentional about how you spend your time in ministry, it will eventually be sucked up by the vampires. Who are the vampires who suck up your time, Todd? Not to say they're vampires, but
I don't want to answer that question. Why don't you answer first, Daniel?
Well, we always talk about the importance of equipping the saints to do the work of ministry, right? And on the podcast, we always talk about the fact that as leaders, we need to spend time with leaders and lost. And it's so important, so important to do pastoral care, to care for and shepherd your congregation. But the bigger your church gets, the more you have to do that through leaders rather than you being the one doing all the hospital visitations and all the counseling sessions and all. You can't delegate all of that out, but you do need to develop leaders who can assist in each of that. So that's some of the stuff that he continues to talk about in this module. But if that was interesting to you and you wanted to learn more about the course, we actually wanted to give you a 25% off discount on that course if you purchase it before January 12th. So if you go to newchurches.com/buyvo and add the course to your cart, you can then use the coupon code BuyVoPodcast. All right, BuyVoPodcast. And that gives you 25% off the course by, and you have to use it before January 12th at midnight. Now, if you're a Plus member, as a Plus member, you get 25% off every single course at newchurches.com. And this coupon here, the Bible Podcast one, can actually be applied on top of your coupon, your Plus member one, which gives you 50% off. Now, this is a crazy thing, Todd. Talking about deals. If you join as an annual Plus member at newchurches.com, we actually give you $75 in course credit. So if you become an annual member at newchurches.com, use the 50% off coupon, you actually get $75 as well toward the price of the course. So you pretty much get the course for next to nothing if you really feel and if you really discern that this is the best next step for you, right? So be sure to do that before January 12th, and we will check you out next time.